Good morning. This morning I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with the power of through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, good morning again. It is great to be with you this morning on the last Sunday of 2025. If you have your Bibles, it'd be great to keep them open to Ephesians chapter 3 as we work through this passage together. But first, let's pray and ask again for God's blessing. Heavenly Father, as we sang just a few minutes ago, so we pray again now, show us Christ. Show us Christ that we might be convicted and encouraged to follow you in a new year. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's that time of year again. It's time for many of us to make New Year's resolutions. And many of us do, we do make New Year's resolutions. We may not actually call them that. We may not actually sit down and write out a list, but at least in our minds, most of us have some kind of goals, some kind of hopes and dreams and plans for 2026. Maybe in 2026, we want to exercise more and lose some weight. In 2026, we want to make or we want to save a certain amount of money. We want to get through another year of study, find a new job, buy a new home. Maybe 2026 is the year you finally hope to retire or go on that big trip. And then in 2026, we may even have spiritual goals. Maybe in 2026, we want to read our Bibles just a little bit more. We want to be a little more involved here at High Wycombe. Maybe we want to share the good news of Jesus with even more people. And all of those are great goals, wonderful resolutions, noble things to hope and plan for a new year. But friends, before we run off and make a bunch of New Year's resolutions today, I want to encourage us to start with prayer. To start with prayer. Because here in Ephesians chapter 3 this morning, Paul gives us a prayer that you and I can pray for the new year. Here in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul gives us a prayer for 2026. And whatever our other hopes and dreams and goals and resolutions may be, this morning I want to encourage all of us to make Paul's prayer our very own for the coming year. So what is Paul's prayer? What can we pray for 2026? Let's find out. 4 points this morning. First, pray. Pray, verses 14 and 15. If you have your Bibles, look with me at verse 14. Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father. For this reason I pray." And the immediate question here is, for what reason, Paul? Paul, why is the reason that you are praying to your Father? And the answer is, this prayer that we're looking at this morning flows out of everything Paul has said in Ephesians so far. This prayer that we're looking at this morning flows out of everything Paul has said in Ephesians chapters 1 and 2. And as you may know, Ephesians chapters 1 and 2 are all about God's grace. Ephesians chapters 1 and 2 are about God's overflowing grace to both Jews and Gentiles. God's rich, amazing grace to undeserving sinners like us. Ephesians 1 and 2 tell us we were spiritually dead. We were without God and without hope in this world. We were children of wrath heading straight for eternal destruction. But the big picture of Ephesians 1 and 2 is God saved us. By his amazing grace, God saves sinners like us in Jesus Christ. And now in our passage, Paul looks back on God's amazing grace in Jesus Christ. And for this reason, in response to God's grace, Paul bows his knees and he prays to God the Father. In fact, look at verses 14 and 15 again. Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." And there's a little bit of debate here about what exactly Paul means by every family. But probably Paul is thinking specifically about Christians. Probably Paul is thinking about the whole family of believers in Jesus Christ. He's thinking about the incredible privilege, the amazing grace that we have as Christians to be part of the very family of the living God, to call the Almighty God our Heavenly Father. Because really, that's what prayer is. Prayer is weak, helpless children calling on God as our Heavenly Father. Last week, a few days before Christmas, my wife and I were fast asleep in bed when suddenly we woke up at about 1 a.m. to the sound of someone calling our names. We woke up at about 1 a.m. to hear our daughter calling our names. Our daughter was calling out, Mom, Dad, come quickly. And when we rolled out of bed and made it across the house to her bedroom, we quickly realized that she was sick. She had a fever. She wasn't feeling well. She was sick. She needed help. She needed help. So what did she do? She instinctively called out, "Mom, Dad." Our daughter needed help, so she instinctively called out to her parents. Because that's what children do. They instinctively cry out to mom and dad, even if it's 1 a.m. in the morning. But you know what happens when we get older? Well, when we get a little bit older, we really don't like to ask for help. When we get a little bit older, we start to foolishly think we can solve all life's problems on our own. We begin to think we can sort out everything in life by ourselves. We begin to imagine we can fix whatever comes our way by our own power or our own cleverness or our own resources. When we get just a little bit older, we stop crying out for mom and dad's help. We really don't like to ask for anyone's help. We become proud and self-reliant, and we think we can do it on our own. But brothers and sisters, here in Ephesians 3, Paul is reminding us we are still weak, helpless children who desperately, desperately need God's help. As we get ready to start a new year, God himself is reminding us we are weak children who desperately need God's help. We really don't like to ask for help, but the truth is we cannot do anything on our own strength. The truth is we are weak and helpless, and we can never make it through 2026 by ourselves. But brothers and sisters, the good news of Ephesians chapter 3, the glorious news for us in 2026 is Almighty God is our loving Heavenly Father. Almighty God is seated on the throne of this universe. Almighty God has showered us with His amazing grace. And in Jesus Christ, Almighty God is our Father. I don't know about you, but there are not too many people that I can call for help at 1 a.m. in the morning. There are not too many people that I can ring at 1 a.m. and ask for help. But listen, when your children call at 1 a.m., you always answer. And as we start a new year, Christians, our great hope is this: God is our loving Heavenly Father, and when we, His children, call on Him, He always answers us, even at 1 a.m. in the morning. So, dear friends, do not rely on your own power next year. Do not try to solve life's problems by yourself. No, because of God's amazing grace, because God is our Father in Jesus Christ, for this reason we can bow our knees before our loving Father and we can pray for His help. But what specifically should we pray for? Beyond asking for God's help, what should we actually pray for? It's our second point this morning, the second part of this passage: pray for spiritual strength. For spiritual strength, verses 16 and 17. I did a Google search a couple weeks ago, and at least according to Google, the most common New Year's resolution is to get physically fit. The most common New Year's resolution is to exercise more, to eat better, to lose weight, to get physically stronger. And that's a fine resolution. In 1 Timothy 4, Paul tells us physical fitness is of some value. Physical strength is a great thing. But friends, don't make physical strength your only New Year's resolution. Because here in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's prayer is for more than just physical strength. Paul's prayer is for spiritual strength. Look at your Bibles again and look with me starting in verse 14. Verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." And then here's the first prayer request. Verse 16, "that according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being." Our first prayer request for the new year is this: may God give us spiritual strength. God has all the power and all the strength and all the might, so may Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, give us spiritual strength. May God give us spiritual strength so that we can walk with Jesus Christ even more. That's what verse 17 means. Verse 17, "so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Paul is praying for spiritual strength so that we may know the fullness of God's Spirit living within us even more. Paul is praying for spiritual strength so that we may know the fullness of Jesus Christ living within us even more. And I want to be really clear about this, because from the very first moment of our Christian life, Christ comes and He makes His home within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. But what verse 17 is saying is that as we walk by faith in Jesus Christ for the rest of our lives, we grow in our relationship with Jesus more and more. As we walk by faith in Jesus for the rest of our lives, Christ dwells in our hearts more and more richly by the power of his Holy Spirit. So physical fitness is a fine New Year's resolution. Saving money or getting a new job or going on that dream holiday, those are fine New Year's resolutions. But friends, don't stop there more than just that in 2026. Pray for spiritual strength to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And let's just get really specific about this for a moment. Friends, if we want to grow spiritually in 2026, what is one specific sin you need to work on next year? Maybe it's a critical, judgmental spirit. Maybe it's lust and pornography. Maybe it's anger and impatience with our children, cursing and swearing, constant worry about that the future, a greedy desire that always wants just a little bit more. Friends, we all have those specific sins that we struggle with. So what is one specific sin that has been plaguing your life in 2025 and making you spiritually weak? Well, Christians, before we do anything else next year, God our Father is inviting us to ask for his help. Yes, we need help from one another. Yes, we need to take practical steps to resist sin and temptation, but before we do anything else, we can bow our knees and ask for help from our Heavenly Father. Father, give me spiritual strength to put that specific sin to death more and more next year. And let me just give you a little picture of what this might look like in 2026. Brothers and sisters, what if every morning when we woke up next year, we started our day with a simple prayer, Father, give me the spiritual strength that I need for today? What if every morning when we woke up, we just simply prayed, Father, give me the spiritual strength to fight against greed or anger or lust or selfishness or pride? What if every time we started to get angry or worried, every time we started to feel self-righteous, what if we just stopped and cried out, like my daughter did? What if we just stopped and called out to our Heavenly Father, Father, give me the spiritual strength in my inner being to fight against this sin? Dear friends, do not stumble through another year committing the same sin over and over again. Do not be so foolish as to try to do it on your own strength. Do not be too proud to ask for help, because God our Father is ready and willing to help us. So bow your knees and pray to our Heavenly Father for spiritual strength to fight temptation. And pray to our Heavenly Father for spiritual strength to know Christ even more. It's the third part of our passage, our third point this morning, really the heart and center of our prayer for the new year. Pray for spiritual strength to know Christ more. To know Christ more, verses 18 and 19. I don't know whether anyone else has done this, but a few times over the years, I've bought some furniture, but I've made a big mistake. And the mistake that I made is I bought the furniture without checking the dimensions beforehand. I think one time I bought a bookcase at IKEA, I didn't check the dimensions, and then I was really annoyed because it didn't fit in my car. Last year, I bought a filing cabinet. I was planning to put it in my closet. It got delivered. It was a lot bigger than I expected, and it didn't fit in my closet. And the problem was, the mistake was, I didn't bother to measure the dimensions. I didn't bother to know the dimensions. Well, here in verses 18 and 19, Paul is praying that we might begin to know the dimensions of Christ's love for us. Paul is praying that we might begin to measure the dimensions of Christ's love for us. Look at verse 17. Verse 17, that you being rooted and grounded in love, here it is, may have strength to understand with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Paul is praying that we might be spiritually strengthened to know Jesus Christ even more. Paul is praying that we might be spiritually strengthened to know the dimensions of Christ's love even more. Only look at what Paul says. Paul says the dimensions of Christ's love are immeasurable. The dimensions of Christ's love surpass our greatest understandings. The dimensions of Christ's love are too broad and too high and too deep and too wide for any of us to fully understand. But Paul's prayer is simple. Our prayer for the new year is simple. Father, we are bowing our knees before you and asking for spiritual strength that we might know the immeasurable dimensions of Christ's love just a little bit more. And to help us know Christ's love just a little bit more, I want you to just think about this for a minute. Just think about this for a minute. Many of us have had long 2025s. Even if it's gone by in an instant, there have been all kinds of ups and downs. But just think about this. Before this world ever began, Christians, Jesus Christ already loved you. Before we were ever born, Christians, Jesus already loved us. Whatever our 2025 has been like, even with all our sins and our failures of the last year, Christians, Jesus has not stopped loving us. Even if our hopes and our dreams and our plans and our resolutions for next year completely fall apart, Christians, Jesus will not stop loving us. Even when we lie on our deathbed and draw our very last breath on earth, Christians, Jesus will not stop loving us. Even when our body is lowered into the grave and returns to dust and ashes, Christians, Jesus will not stop loving us. Even when we are raised and stand before God's great white throne on the day of the last judgment, Christians, Jesus Christ will not stop loving us. Even when we lose count of the years and the centuries and the millennia of an eternity in a new creation, Christians, Jesus Christ, our Savior, will not stop loving us. Christians, Jesus Christ will never, ever stop loving us, because Jesus has proved his love for us once and for all on the cross. Jesus was completely innocent. Jesus was completely righteous. Jesus never did anything wrong. But in the greatest love that history has ever known, in a love beyond our measuring, Jesus Christ willingly died on the cross to take the judgment that we deserve. And since he died to save us, Christians, Jesus will not stop loving us. in 2026. That's just a little bit of how wide and how long and how broad and how high the love of Jesus Christ is for sinners like us. It's beyond our full understanding. It's a love with dimensions that we can never measure. But as we start a new year, our prayer can simply be this: Heavenly Father, may we know the infinite dimensions of Christ's love just a little bit more. Heavenly Father, may we be spiritually strengthened in our inner being to know the surpassing greatness of Christ's love for undeserving sinners like us just a little bit more. Friends, don't just pray for knowledge to buy the right house next year. Don't just pray for knowledge to make the right investments next year. Don't just pray for knowledge to go on the perfect holiday next year. Of course, we can pray for all of those things, but most of all, our prayer for 2026 should be this: pray to know Jesus Christ more and more until the day we are filled with all the fullness of God. Look at your Bibles again and look at verse 19. Paul prays, "And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And most commentators think this prayer for God's fullness is a prayer for perfection. It's a prayer that we would grow more and more and more into the fullness of God's righteous character. It's a prayer that we would grow more and more and more into the fullness of the image of Jesus Christ. So this prayer for God's fullness is a prayer for spiritual maturity. Ultimately, it's a prayer for perfection. And in that sense, this prayer at the very end of verse 19 will not be fully answered until the day that we go to be with Jesus. Because until we go to be with Jesus in this life, none of us are perfect. But Paul's prayer here at the very end of verse 19 is that we make progress. Paul's prayer is that we know Christ even more. Paul's prayer is that with every passing year, we look more and more like Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, next year, my parents will celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. Next year, my parents will have been married for 50 long years. And sometimes I tease my parents after all those years together, they're starting to sound like each other. After all those years together, they're starting to dress like each other. After all those years together, they're starting to look like each other. And friends, you may not be married, but the same thing is true for all of us. After a while, all of us start to dress and sound and talk like our friends. After a while, we all start to look and act like the people that we spend time with. And Christians, our goal in life is not just to earn lots of money. It's not just to buy a nice house. It's not just to enjoy a nice, comfortable retirement. Those are all fine things. But our goal in life is so much better. Our goal in life is to spend so much time with Jesus Christ that we start to look like him. And our prayer for 2026 can simply be this: Heavenly Father, may we walk with Jesus Christ so much that we start to look more and more like him next year. Heavenly Father, may we be strengthened in our inner being to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, to know him more and more so that we would look more like Jesus Christ next year, until the day when we are finally filled with all the fullness of God, so that God alone gets all the glory. It's the last part of Paul's prayer. It's our biggest, deepest hope for 2026. Pray for spiritual strength to know Christ more for God's glory. For God's glory, verses 20 and 21. I wish we had more time to unpack these two glorious verses, but just briefly, look at verse 20 with me. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. In other words, Paul is saying all the power to answer these prayers comes from God alone. God is the one at work within us. God is the one who can do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. God is our loving Heavenly Father who is ready to answer us when we pray. So God gets all the glory. God deserves all the praise. That's what verse 21 says. Verse 21, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. A couple of years ago now, I came across this really striking prayer from Charles Spurgeon. This isn't the exact words that he used, but this is the gist of it. Spurgeon prayed, he prayed, God, deny all our other desires if you will get the glory in and through us. Spurgeon prayed, God, you don't have to give us anything else that we ask for if you, God, will get all the glory in and through us. And friends, that is not an easy thing to pray. Because we look at the year to come and we have hopes and dreams and plans for what we hope will happen. And we really, really want some of those things to happen. But here in Ephesians 3, Paul is inviting us to pray, Heavenly Father, whatever else you do next year, would you get all the glory? Heavenly Father, I really want to graduate from that program next year. Heavenly Father, I really want to get married next year. I really want to retire. I really want to see my kids mature. I really want to witness our church grow. Heavenly Father, I really, really, really want my parents or my friend or my spouse to live through another year. But Heavenly Father, I'm bowing my knees before you and I'm praying, deny whatever of my desires you want if you, God, will get all the glory. Heavenly Father, I'm bowing my knees before you and I'm praying, whatever else you do next year, help me to be spiritually strengthened to battle that specific sin. Help me to be spiritually strengthened to know the immeasurable dimensions of Christ's love just a little bit more. Help me to be spiritually strengthened to look more like Jesus Christ next year. Help me to be spiritually strengthened so that in whatever else happens in my life, you, God, would get all the glory. Dear friends, I don't know what next year holds for any of us. But I do know if we pray to know Christ more for the glory of God, God will answer our prayers far more abundantly than we can ask or imagine. I do know if we pray to know Christ more for the glory of God, then God will get all the glory in this church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. For this reason, we bow our knees before you, our Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of your glory, you may grant us to be strengthened with power through your Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to you, who are able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to you, Lord, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And so we say together, Amen.